Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a show about clean tech, renewable energy, and the ways this rapidly growing industry is changing how we think about power. The Wisconsin Energy Broadcast is a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Now, here's your host, Heather Allen and Nan Fay.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. I am here with a wonderful group of guests and my trusty I think we're having some technical difficulties, and my co-host, Nan Fay. And
good tonight,
tonight we're going to talk about how a number of communities across Wisconsin, including Madison, Monona, Fitchburg, Middleton, and Eau Claire, are committing to 100% renewable. Let me quote from my colleague Michael Vickerman's blog to give you a sense of what's going on. The Madison Common Council adopted in late March a resolution setting 2030 as the deadline to achieve 100% renewable energy and net zero carbon goal for city operations. Spearheaded by the Madison Sustainable Madison Committee, the resolution empowers city staff to lead by example and initiate aggressive policies and practices designed to reduce carbon emissions across the community. Madison's actions come on the heels of similar resolutions adopted by its neighbors, specifically the cities of Fitchburg and Monona, committing themselves to procure renewable energy sources to power their operations. In late February, Fitchburg's Common Council resolved to offset 100% of the city's electricity demands for renewable energy resources by 2030. A week later, Monona adopted a resolution establishing an identical goal and deadline for its own electricity use and coupled it with a renewable energy commitment by 2040, applicable to other energy uses such as heating buildings and fueling vehicles. So with all these resolutions on the books, there are now five Wisconsin cities that have embraced 100% renewable energy or electricity future for its operations and have set these deadlines for achieving it. So my guests today include Stacey Reese.
Hello.
Denise DeMarb.
Hi, glad to be here.
And Teresa Redemacher.
Hello.
We're excited to have you all here to talk about both what Monona's doing and what the city of Madison is doing and what it really takes to bring a community along the renewable energy pathway. So if my guests don't mind, I'd like to have you introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about your role in the sustainability world here and just tell us what you're up to on clean energy.
Hi. Yeah, so this is Stacey Reese, the new sustainability program coordinator for the city of Madison. I just started in November of last year. And prior to that, I sat on the Sustainable Madison Committee as a resident member. So I'm really happy to see walking this goal of 100% renewable all the way through to now where we're at today.
Thank you.
Hi, and this is Denise DeMarb. And my mic just went.
Oh.
Is it okay? All right. This is Denise DeMarb, and I was formerly an alder in the city of Madison and sat on the sustainability committee, and now as a resident member.
And I'm Teresa Rademacher, and not an elected official, just a community member of the Monona Sustainability Committee, where I have been very active for, oh my goodness, probably 5 to 7 years. I can't remember.
Well, I don't think you have to be an elected official to be a public servant.
That's right.
I think we have a lot of public servants in this room. So it's an honor to be with you all today. So I actually like to start with Teresa. Can you tell us a little bit about Monona's journey to reach, just last month, to achieve a unanimous passing of your 100% renewable resolution? Sort of just kind of lay it out for us. How did you start the process and what did it take to get to where you are today?
Sure. So in 2015, Monona passed our sustainability plan. And I think that with a lot of communities, once you pass the plan, you say, oh, now what? How do we implement this? You know,
yeah,
we're all behind it, but what do we need to do to get working on it?
Right.
And prior to that, you know, we had done some amazing things. We had installed solar PV on 4 of our city facilities. We were the first community to leverage third-party financing in Wisconsin, and or at least a particular kind of third-party financing. And we had, you know, done a lot of energy efficiency changes in buildings. We were an energy independent community. We, you know, joined the U.S. Climate Mayor's, movement to take action toward the Paris Climate Agreement. You know, there are a lot of things going on in non-energy areas, but just because we're talking about energy tonight, those are some of the things that we had did, you know, LED upgrades and lighting and so forth. But in other, you know, efforts to implement further sustainability changes in the community, the idea came about, like, you know, maybe we just need to focus on little projects and we'll get some really highly visible projects in the community, build some community support, get some visibility. We started off with a, it was a great project. It was leaf management and adopt a storm drain, right? That was our first project. And then after, and that was in 2017. And once that had sort of wrapped up, the committee just looked at one another. We all looked at each other. And I said, how about energy? That should really be our next focus. That's the big thing. We got to go after energy. And people just said, well, it's not really a project. I'm like, true.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. How about if our project is a resolution? And how about if we team up with other communities and educate ourselves and just really get on board with this? Because this is the big thing we need to tackle. And so we just went about really with this year of self-education. We reached out to the other communities. We, you know, said, okay, who has a sustainability committee? You go to Fitchburg, you go to Madison, you go to Middleton, introduce yourself, let them know who we are. Let everybody know that we're in on this and we want to work together. Invite people to our meetings. We invited Michael Vickerman. We invited folks from Legacy Solar Co-op. We invited people who were experts in the field, and we started our own education process, fully aware that, you know, we're community servants, or just we're just not the experts in the field, but we just need to know who they are, who those experts are. And we decided, you know, to really leverage what the county was already doing with Keith's group, Keith Riopel, and to understand what other communities had already done, and to follow their template rather than reinventing the wheel. And long story short, we well, I guess there's other things. We have a community program at our library, and we started to work with them on programming for community education.
EcoAction.
EcoAction Tuesdays at
That's
the Monona,
right. That is a great Monona, program.
At the Monona Public Library. We also had just sort of an opportunity that came on the horizon, sort of spur of the moment thing. We all remember the big climate march out in New York City a few years ago. There was, on the anniversary of the climate march, there was a global day of action called Rise for Climate. And there were, there were rallies across the entire globe. And a group of citizens, myself included, got together and said, you know, maybe we should have a rally in Monona and just really drum up community support and make it very visible to our elected officials that you've got a lot of people in this community that are really in favor of moving toward renewable energy, and we got your back.
Yeah.
And our elected officials, it's hard to make an unpopular decision, right? I mean, it's not what you want to do. And so we needed to tell them that this is what we want you to do, and we know it might be hard, and we know that it might even be costly, but we're okay with that. And so we invited Heather. We invited...
It was a good rally.
We had about 130, 50 people on a Badger Sunday, no, after, or Saturday.
On a Badger Saturday. Sunday, yeah. When Madison was throwing its own rally on State Street in
right,
the Capitol.
Right,
you
right,
had a
right.
huge turnout.
We had a huge turnout. Yeah. It was great. We had people talk about, you know, we had a pastor from a local church talk about the social justice aspect. We had historians talk about our Aldo Leopold, our you know, ecology roots, the Wisconsin, you know, history that we're so proud of with conservation. We had Heather talk about the financial aspects. We had folks from Middleton talk about their own resolution, how they went about it. We had people talk from the business community, talk about the benefits. Anyway, I can't say that there's a direct cause and effect, but within a couple weeks, we had our sustainability plan drafted. We partnered with Sherry Gruder of UW Extension, who also drafted Middleton's plan. We borrowed a lot of the same language. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later, but that's kind of the journey that we went to, and I'll maybe let others talk about
that's
that.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank yeah. you so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just to kind of sum that up, I think what you're laying out for other communities if they want to follow your pathway is that you had a multi-pronged approach:
exactly.
public education,
right.
demonstrating right. public support, mm-hmm. deep dive info sessions that are available to the public, mm-hmm. learning from experts, bringing in experts, going to their meetings. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a really mm-hmm. kind of a beautiful process that you implemented to get to your resolution. So congratulations on what happened last month. I think we might be ready to dig into the city of Madison mm-hmm. and learn about your plan too. Denise or Stacy, would you like to sort of kick it off talking about the passage of the 100% renewable resolution and the plan to develop a plan, which was sure. just adopted?
Well, Stacy and I can tag team this yeah. because we were both on the committee when this happened. And Stacy, like she said, has recently been hired as city staff to drive this forward. So it was 2017 when the resolution was actually passed, and it was unanimously supported by council. But I just want to back up one second. There's a lot of work going on right now, but the reason that there's a lot of work going on right now is because right now people have a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've been plugging away at this for a long time, and Nan's shaking her head. She's been involved in this with the city. Heather's been involved. We've all, mm-hmm. you know, we've been involved in different ways, and we've been trying to make headway and plugging away little by little, putting solar on roofs and, you know, trying to educate people, you know, passing this resolution or that resolution, but it hadn't gained a lot of traction, frankly, until recently. And that's because the residents of our city and residents of our nation are finally thinking, we really need to do something. This is serious stuff. Ice caps are melting. You know, I mean, they see this, and so it's much easier now to get people on board to actually dig in and be supportive of yeah. this work. So having said that and kind of kicked this off a little bit, Stacy, do you want to take us through the timeline? Or
sure. Yeah, okay. yeah. So, you know, we did have some goals with the city of Madison with the adoption of our sustainability plan. So it was drafted in 2011, adopted in 2012. And we had carbon goals of reducing carbon 80% by 2050 and obtaining 25% of our electricity, heating, and transportation from clean energy sources. And what actually happened in the interim between now and then was that the city actually tasked the Sustainable Madison Committee with coming up with an energy plan for the city. In that energy plan, there were about a dozen or so different recommendations, but the first and foremost recommendation was to go back to those goals, the goals that were adopted in 2012. A lot had changed. A lot of science reports had come out, again, with that sense of urgency. But a lot had changed also in the energy sector, just with the technology and prices. So we just knew that we had a kind of a perfect storm of an opportunity to revisit those goals.
That's right.
So we created a working group to specifically look at those goals. And those public meetings that we had, I mean, we have to give a shout out to some of the local organizations that really got the word out about those meetings. Sierra Club, 350.org, Repower Madison. We had standing room only public meetings, and the public really came out and said, hey,
absolutely.
We want the city to lead. We want the city to be bold. And we want the city to go 100%. And so that's when the Sustainable Madison Committee drafted the resolution, which was then adopted in March of 2017. What's sort of unique about our resolution, and again, there's some echoes from the other communities in our region of having public meetings and having these resolutions with these goals, but the city of Madison, our committee didn't feel that we had all the right information, all the technical expertise to set dates. And so that was a little unique in our end. The resolution actually asked to hire a consulting firm to dive into all of the information, all the data, model it out for us, and then tell us how fast we get there.
That's right. And put some numbers behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, that's what just happened, right?
Yep. That just happened.
You spent about 2 years working with that consultant and developing.
It took a long time.
It was arduous.
Yes.
And full disclosure, every single one of us in the room have worked together in various elements of all of these plans. So we intimately know how long it takes. But I think that you achieved a huge milestone just last month.
That's right.
When you finally passed a resolution to adopt scenario 3.
Which was 100% approved by council.
That's right.
I think that, I mean, the council is behind it. And it's not just because, I mean, of course they're behind it because the public's behind it and because Madison Sustainability Committee did a great job in bringing this forward with their consultants, right? I mean, they've done really good work, but they're also behind it because they understand it and they understand the need for it. So I think that's important to point out here.
So you adopted scenario three.
Scenario three.
Can you tell us quickly what the other two were and then what scenario three actually is for our listeners?
Yeah, it's, well, Stacey can go into detail if you want detail, but I mean, basically, it's just how much, it's the amount of RECs you're using. So scenario three depends less on RECs and more on doing work within the city itself to get clean energy.
And can you explain what RECs means?
Sure,
yeah. So renewable energy credits, they are a commodity, they're traded, and basically you can purchase renewable energy credits to receive the environmental attributes from those credits. We, as a Sustainable Madison Committee, we know that there are some pieces of our footprint that are challenging. You know, we are a northern climate, we're heated by natural gas in a lot of our residential and commercial buildings. Our transportation footprint, we know that a lot of those technologies will be coming on board over the next decade. So the idea with renewable energy credits is that scenario three is the least percentage of our footprint being offset with renewable energy credits. And on top of that, we are looking to purchase those renewable energy credits through additionality, which means those are going to be new projects, new renewable projects on the grid. Right. They're going to be in our backyard, so supporting economic development in our region. And so those are some of the pieces that we wanted to ensure that even if we do have to do some piece of the pie with RECs, that we have those values behind it as well.
And it also allows us, being the city, to make a difference right now. You know, we don't have to wait to be able to have our fleet run off of electricity or natural gas, right? We don't have to wait to turn over the fleet to do that. We can do a lot of that work right now, and it benefits Madison because it benefits the region.
And you don't have to wait for the consultants' numbers and all of that to get started on those kinds of projects.
Well, and frankly, the new mayor and our council to prioritize, right? There's a lot of priorities that go into millions and millions of dollars that it's, you know, of increment that it's going to take to make this happen.
And actually, let me just jump in there. The city of Madison already committed more than $2 million in project financing to leverage the construction of 5 solar arrays. I'm quoting here from Michael Vickerman in western Wisconsin, totaling 10 megawatts. Construction's already begun on these arrays and will begin generating power this summer, enough to offset 37% of the city's electricity load on an annual basis. They're developed by One Energy Renewables and will serve the cities of Argyle, Cumberland, Elroy, Fenimore, and New Lisbon. So it's a nice partnership with other communities in the state of Wisconsin that helps offset Madison's energy load.
And those projects, too, we had a but-for clause included with our values, where those projects would not have gotten off the ground if City of Madison was not at the table as an investor.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So we should hear a little bit about the details of Monona's plan.
We can do that. Something about the Monona resolution that... that I'm very proud of is that we recognize that there's a really strong social justice aspect to clean energy, and that often it's the communities that are not as fortunate which really feel the largest impact from worsening heat waves, excessive flooding, native trees dying back, clean or not clean water and polluted air. And so we wrote that into our plan, that it's important to make that acknowledgement. Also something echoing what Stacy said earlier is that the plan also points out that we want to prioritize new development of solar and other renewables before getting to 100% through renewable energy credits, or use those RECs from local from local energy. The plan specifically states our targets as, first, focusing very heavily on reducing our energy consumption so that by 2050 we've cut our energy consumption in half, so that we're not constantly just chasing after this increasing ramp up of consumption. So, and then by 2050, we will have 2040, 100% renewable, 100% clean energy with city operations, and then by 2050, 100% city renewable or clean energy throughout the community. And what was there any particular detail that you're thinking of wanting to learn more about, Heather?
What are your immediate next steps? What do you hope to happen in the next couple of months to move forward with your actions on the plan?
Some of the things that we're already doing is we've been reaching out to businesses in Monona, especially those that are developing new construction, and we're learning that so many people just are unaware of the accessibility of solar. They're unaware of the lower costs. They just make so many assumptions about how it's going to be so expensive if we do that. But we're happy to say that we've got a really, my apologies, my voice is so scratchy. We had this Yahara River project that's going in Monona. It's massive development, and we've been able to convince the developer to plan for solar energy.
That's
wonderful,
great.
Wonderful. When he learned about, you know, the cost benefits, he was very startled, and it was an easy decision for him. We're also in the middle of launching a big survey, a residential energy survey, because we just want to understand where our community is, what people's their current perceptions and comfort levels and interests in energy might be, so that we can meet them where they're at, and then move into the community with maybe programs that can educate about what they can do to reduce their energy use. We're also working with the Monona Grove School District, passed a very big referendum last fall to build a new elementary school. It also includes renovations to existing buildings, and I've been working with our superintendent to make sure that there's an element of renewable energies in those plans. We've got a planning grant that we received, Office of Energy Independence, so that's going to help us to move forward with a plan that we can model after other cities.
That's fantastic. So, Stacey, can we dig in a little bit to the details of the plan that was adopted by City Council for the City of Madison? My understanding is you're going to need to spend about $95 million over the course of many years.
12
years. to implement that plan. What are some of the specific actions that need investment over those 12 years that we're going to see the City of Madison undertake to shift?
Yeah, so I mean, the three big buckets for actions within this 100% Renewable Madison report include, you know, looking at energy efficiency, so really reducing our demand and our consumption, looking at renewables so that the remaining part of our consumption can be clean fuel sources, and then also looking at our transportation footprint. And so it's going to be demand reduction measures, including building efficiency, looking at streetlight efficiency measures, our water distribution system, so that's our largest energy users, pumping water throughout our city, looking at optimization of that. We're going to have to invest in some staff and resources to support these efforts. A big chunk, but a big bang for our buck is really looking at our vehicle footprint by electrifying our metro fleet, as well as the rest of our fleet vehicles. We have a lot of vehicles running around, so really getting those into electric or other landfill gas fuel sources. There's also investments, again, in a lot of solar renewable energy. So that could be solar on rooftops behind the meter, or that could be large-scale solar and wind utility-scale projects. And then that final part, like I said, is going to be that lowest of the three scenarios with the renewable energy credits for the remainder.
Fantastic. Denise, did you want to add anything to that?
Not specifically, but I just think it's important to point out that there is $92 million that has been sort of modeled that the city will need to spend in the next 12 years. But the cost savings that comes from doing this and the cost savings in public health is gigantic. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, it's not the cost savings in public health is not direct. I mean, it's not going to the city budget necessarily, but it's real, and it's real to the residents of this city and the surrounding area. And being healthier, breathing better, all of those the benefits of this plan. Stacy just put it in front of me here, and you can speak to it specifically. But it's just we've got some preliminary numbers on that, and we'll be digging into that more. But I just think it's really important to talk about that as real reasons to do it. Is we're not just spending money, we are saving money, and the savings comes in our health.
Absolutely. You know, you're providing a little segue into something I did want to mention. There was a study that just came out from a postdoctoral researcher at UW-Madison, Wisconsin, that Dan and I actually had on the show last month. David Abel and his colleague Tracy Holloway just wrote a study that says that turning off lights and investing in energy efficiency actually saves lives. He says, quote, there's a range of health benefits. It's a bonus. And we find that there are extra health reasons to turn off a light. And then I would add, in my own words, and shift to renewable energy. So that's absolutely true. We're almost out of time. I just want to give folks a couple heads up of ways they can get involved. The first thing I want to mention is that the city of Madison is launching its Madison program administered by Renew Wisconsin. So if you're thinking about putting solar on your home, and even if you're in the region, you may qualify for this program for this group buy. You can go to madisonsolar.com and sign up, signal that you're interested. And as that program becomes ready to go, Renew Wisconsin, which I work for, will contact you and help you get solar on your rooftop. This is one of the best years to do it because of the tax credits that are fading away. So go solar this year if you can, if you want to participate. If you really want to get involved, the city of Middleton, which used to employ Stacy as their sustainability coordinator, is hiring a full-time sustainability coordinator. So if you just love this kind of work and you want to work on it, look at the city of Middleton website. And if you just want to do the right thing tonight, just turn off the lights a little early.
Absolutely.
You're here.
Are there any last things that you would like our audience to know before we wrap up tonight?
I will jump in and say that if you're intimidated at all by this, and you're sort of a person in your community like myself that just wants to do the right thing, get active, be a partner, be a volunteer, please understand that you don't have to be an expert. There are experts out there. You don't have to come up with a plan on your own. There are plans out there that you can use as templates. There are studies that have already been conducted that'll show you the milestones you can hit by certain years. You don't have to spend the money to find that out. It's already out there and you can borrow it, and people want to share.
Absolutely.
Well said. Well said. Okay. Well, thank you all for being here today. This was an excellent show, and Nan and I both appreciate all the work you do and the many, many hats that you wear.
And it's been fun working with all of you over the past few years.
Thanks for having me.
Likewise. Yeah.
Thank you.